Hi everybody, welcome to the Women's Dating and Confidence Podcast. My name is Amber and today we're going to be talking about romantic perfectionism. Before we get into that, I want to share with you my free guide called Copy and Paste Texts for when he's pulling away or acting flaky. The link for that is going to be in the show notes of this episode. Also, if you're interested in joining my coaching program From Dating to Exclusive, check out the link in the show notes. If you're listening to this as the episode comes out, we are currently enrolling for the coaching program. And if you're listening to this later, we might also be enrolling, or you can get on the waitlist for the next opening of the coaching program. I also wanted to give a quick update on the progress with the book that I'm writing. So it's now in the second round of editing with my friend, who is a writer and an editor. And I'm really excited that she's working on it and she's giving me really great feedback and kind of looking at the bigger picture of things. And it's really awesome because I actually met her years ago and she really has an understanding of the work that I do and also me as a person. And so it's really nice to have that personal touch and perspective as well as her professional perspective. And that in addition to the other, like the first editor was more like grammatical line by line editing. So now we're kind of getting into the bigger picture of the book and making sure that it's a really amazing book. So yeah, that's where it is at right now. I don't have a release date yet, but we're working on it and I'm excited to share more updates with you as they come. Okay, so today's episode is about romantic perfectionism, and this is inspired by my avoidant friends. So this is a way of thinking that is very common among people who identify more with the avoidant attachment style. And at the same time, it's something that we probably all identify with to some extent. And I know that I've also thought this way. And romantic perfectionism is something that gets in the way of us creating the kind of connections that we want. It gets in the way of being present in the connections. We then start to compare our connections and the people that we date to other people. And we start to feel anxious when they're not measuring up. So it can create a lot of challenges. And that's what we're going to talk about today. In addition to this podcast episode, if this is something that you're struggling with, I recommend listening to podcast episode 230 called Is There Somebody Better Out There? And this podcast is going more in depth on that same topic. So let's talk about what romantic perfectionism is and what it looks like. Romantic perfectionism, for example, could be wanting a partner to match a very specific physical appearance and not having a lot of flexibility in that. Wanting a partner to validate us through being very attractive or through having other attractive qualities. So, for example, thinking that if we have a partner who is more physically attractive than we are or just very physically attractive, that somehow validates our worthiness or attractiveness. And that can also apply for other things like having a partner who is wealthy or having a partner who is charming or funny. So thinking that your partner is a reflection of you and therefore wanting to get the best possible deal that you can to represent the highest version of yourself. It can also be comparing your partner to past partners, or even more commonly, comparing your partner to people who don't actually exist, usually in the form of a future better possibility and partner. An imaginary perfect partner in the future that you haven't yet met, but is definitely better than the person you're dating right now. Then it can also be comparing your partner to the single quality of another person, and specifically comparing a quality about your partner to someone else's best, most highest expressed quality. So, for example, basically, here's what I think. By the time that we reach the age of 30, we have all dated someone who is in the best of whatever category they're in. So, for example, we have met the hottest person that we're ever going to meet. We've met the funniest person we're ever going to meet. We've met the kindest person, the richest person, and so on and so forth. So by the time you're 30 and you get into your next relationship, it's very possible that they are not the funniest person that you have ever met. They may be funny, but they may not be as funny as that guy that you dated for 3 months who was a professional comedian. Or they might not be the most attractive person you have ever made out with. They're attractive, but they may not be the most attractive person that you have ever met. And so romantic perfectionism gets caught up on that. And it thinks, because I have dated somebody who in this one specific area had a higher expression of that one thing, I need to pursue that. And the problem is, we want our future partner to have the highest expression of every single one of those areas. So that doesn't exist, and then we overlook the whole of an amazing person who actually has all of the qualities that we're looking for, but maybe isn't the best, most attractive, funniest, richest person in every single one of those qualities, right? So the difference between having high standards for a partner versus being a romantic perfectionist is wanting someone who you feel attracted to, who you laugh with, who you emotionally connect with, who is kind, who is loving, blah, blah, blah. But not expecting them to be the funniest, most attractive, most loving and always kind person that you have ever met, because you're comparing each aspect of their personality and qualities to one aspect of another person's qualities. I think one question that I always had was, I always heard couples say, you know, relationships are work and nobody's perfect. But I'm like, how much work and how imperfect can my partner be? Because I get that in theory, but which imperfections should I actually accept and which ones should I not accept? Because there are certainly imperfections that we shouldn't accept because they're harmful to us. And romantic perfectionism is a version of trying to mitigate those imperfections or challenges or the work of a relationship. And we want our relationship to be easy and effortless. And I think a big challenge with that as well is that we often compare the nitty-gritty of being in a relationship, our internal experience of it, with seeing other people in their relationships. And it's very important to remember that most people don't openly share everything that's going on in their relationship. So they may say vague things like, hey, nobody's perfect, and of course we have our challenges, or relationships are work, but they're not going to tell you the specific real challenges that they're facing. And what I've definitely learned from becoming closer friends with people and with working with hundreds of people at this point is that there are challenges in every single relationship. And romantic perfectionism can also mean that we are comparing the challenges of our relationship with the idealistic picture image on social media of somebody else's relationship. Okay, so let's go back through these one by one, and I'll just give a little bit of feedback for a way that you can maybe shift your thinking 1% to hopefully be a little bit less romantically perfectionistic. So let's start with the physical appearance of the people that we're dating. So romantic perfectionism would be wanting a partner to match a very specific physical appearance, whether that's height or hair color or just the body type or whatever. And what I want you to focus on instead is how your body feels around that person. Because when you make that shift to primarily turning inwards when you're around people versus looking at people externally, you might be surprised with how you feel. When I started doing this, there were many people that maybe before I wouldn't have really noticed, but when I tuned into how I feel around them, there was something in me that was drawing me towards them. And sometimes the opposite happened on dates. I actually remember there was a date where I brought the person back to my home and my roommate was there and they chatted a bit and my roommate was like, wow, he's like really conventionally, like classically attractive. Those were her exact words. And I, after that date, I think it was like a second or third date, I was like, you know, I really strongly don't feel attracted to this person. And I couldn't tell you why. It was just something genetic or biological. So I think that there is a part of attraction that we can't really control. And I think that when we tune in internally, we can just notice what's there. And it's not always about the exact look of the person. Although there may be types that you feel more attracted to, you may just broaden your horizon a little bit if you tune in more when you're with the person. So this came up also with a friend of mine where he went on a date and he was like, you know, like we had such a great time and there was some attraction, but she's just not the idea of what I thought I was looking for physically. And I was like, well, that's interesting because you said there was like some attraction. So maybe go on the next date, see how you feel around her, and see if that feeling is growing or diminishing. And if it's growing, then great. Maybe see where that goes. And if it's actively diminishing, where you feel like an active, like I don't want to come closer to this person, then listen to that. So you definitely don't have to date people you're not attracted to, but just try to shift your focus of attraction from looking at them like a magazine to feeling into them internally. On a similar note, when you start to tune into the authenticity of how you feel around someone and how attracted you feel, other people's opinion about whether they are more or less attractive than you is less important because you know what you feel. And that's the most important thing at the end of the day, is how you feel with your partner who you spend a lot of time with. And our friends, the reality is our friends might have an initial judgment and we just need to accept that. There might be a thought that goes through people's minds when they first see us with our new partner that says, oh, that's not who I saw them with. I thought maybe they would be with somebody who wasn't shorter than them, or I thought they were going to be with somebody a little bit more conventionally attractive. And that lasts maybe a few minutes and then they get over it and then they adjust and then they see your partner's really awesome and you feel really good around them and they don't care anymore and nobody else cares. So we really are doing a disservice to ourselves to let go of people that we feel attracted to, that we like, just because we're trying to avoid that 1 minute thought that our friend may have when they first see our partner who may be, in their opinion, less attractive than us. Okay, so let's talk about the comparing our partner to a past partner. So with that, what you really want to work on first is just your thoughts about your past partner. And there may actually be some unprocessed, unresolved thinking from the breakup that you never actually worked through. And now it's coming up in your new connection because you're still comparing future partners to past partners. And that can show up in a few ways, but one of them is thinking that that person was the one, or that person was perfect. And for some godforsaken reason, it just didn't work out. And that just means you're not over your ex, and you really need to get over your ex before you're trying to get into a new relationship. So working through and processing through letting go of that connection mentally to the point where you really see it couldn't have been the one and it wasn't perfect because you are not together. And from that place, it's much easier to be open to new partners and not compare them to past partners. And then we can also compare our partner to people who don't actually exist, aka a future perfect partner. And this one's a tough one too, because in some sense, we really do want to dream up the ideal partner that we're looking for. We want to imagine a partner that's maybe better than what we've experienced in the past. And maybe we didn't have great experiences in the past. But the way that you know that this is treading into the romantic perfectionism area is when you're imagining your partner minus one flaw, right? So the perfect future partner is like everything about Jacob, but not doing that one thing. And that's when we're getting into the perfectionism, where we imagine that we can just take all the positive things that we love about this person, remove the things we don't love about that person, and have that be our next future relationship without adding three more negative things. And so the idea to remember here is that, like in life, you will always have 1 to 3 life problems, and you will always have 1 to 3 relationship problems, no matter who you are with. And maybe more and maybe less, I don't know. But the point being that you will always be working on accepting some basket of issues with each person. So don't imagine that there's a relationship out there where there is zero problems, where you don't have to work on accepting anything about the person. And then lastly, we have comparing one single quality of our partner to one single quality of another person. So let's take an example. Let's say you're comparing the funniest person you ever dated and their sense of humor to your partner's sense of humor and how funny and witty they are. So maybe you think that your partner is less funny than that person. And maybe you value humor very highly in a partner and with a person. So the most important thing to ask yourself then is my partner funny? Do we laugh? Is it playful? Do we joke around? Are they playing along with my jokes? That is important. But don't ask yourself, are they the funniest person I've ever met? So the quality that you're looking for and you are comparing probably is important, and it is important to you. But don't fall into the trap of thinking they need to have the highest expression of that specific quality in order to fulfill you in that area of life. And the same goes with other areas. What if you had a sexual partner who was just off the charts chemistry-wise, and then you were comparing your current partner and the sexual experience with them? It is very important that you have a positive sexual experience and chemistry and attraction with your partner, but you don't need them to be the highest, most expressed version of that in order to be deeply fulfilled in your sex life with them. So ask yourself, am I attracted to them? Is there chemistry? Is there some sort of energetic sexual exchange here? What is it feeling like with this person? Not, are they the best I've ever had? Or are they the best at whatever specific thing I'm comparing in our sex life compared to another person? And the thing is, the person that you're with is not just one thing, they're a combination of things. And so even if you dated somebody who was the best you ever had in whatever area, whether it's humor, sexual chemistry, or whatever, if it's not in combination with the 17 other special qualities that your partner right now has, then that thing is actually not as valuable. And one single quality doesn't make up for a deficit in 17 other qualities. And even if they're amazing in two specific ways, if your partner is, they probably are amazing in several specific ways, and then maybe slightly more average in other ways, but altogether it still makes an extraordinary person and an extraordinary partner. So this is also for you to just keep in mind if you notice yourself getting perfectionistic with yourself and thinking, I need to be the perfect partner, the most highly expressed version of myself with every single quality that a man is looking for. If you are thinking in that way, you're being romantically perfectionistic with yourself. All right, thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, I always love to see your reviews on Apple Podcasts or your rating on Spotify Podcasts. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Have a good day. Bye.